Good morning and happy Sabbath. It brings me great joy to see you and walking with Jesus. Are you walking with Jesus every day? Please bow your heads with me as I pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this beautiful day that we can be here to worship you. So today I would like to tell you a story of a man who walked with God for 300 years. How many years? Isn't that crazy? So my key text comes from Genesis 5:24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch was the son of Jared and the great-great-great-grandson of Adam. His ancestors were Adam, who lived 930 years, Seth, who lived 912 years, Enosh, who lived 905 years, Canaan, who lived 910 years, Mahalalel, who lived 895 years, and Jared, who lived 962 years. Yes, people lived much longer after creation. In fact, if Adam and Eve had not sinned, they would have lived forever. Jared was 162 years old when Enoch was born. At that time, Adam was 622 years old. This means Enoch could have lived alongside Adam for 308 years before Adam died. There's a strong possibility that they saw one another or even conversed. Ellen White writes that the Savior's coming was foretold in Eden. When Adam and Eve first heard the promise, they looked for its speedy fulfillment. From the days of Enoch, the promise was repeated through patriarchs and prophets, keeping alive the hope of his appearing. From Christ Objects, lesson page 5.1. One day, when Jesus comes again and takes us to heaven, we can ask Enoch to tell us more about his walk with God. Wouldn't it be wonderful to sit down and hear his story firsthand? Enoch was 65 years old when his son Methuselah was born. The Bible tells us that after Methuselah's birth, Enoch walked with God for 300 years. What does it mean to walk with God? Ellen White explains, "Brethren, pray at home, in your family night and morning, and while engaged in your daily labor, lift up the soul to God in prayer." It was thus that Enoch walked with God. Walking with God means daily communion with him, day and night. It means staying connected with God while you play, study, go to school, visit the mall, or go anywhere. You are always with him. The Bible tells us that Enoch did not see death. After walking with God for 300 years, God took him. His life did not end in death, but in translation. Enoch walked with God and walked and walked and walked for 300 years. If we could write the word walk once for every year, we would fill many pages. This walk with God became so close that it was as if God finally said, "You have walked with me for so long on earth. Now come and walk with me in heaven forever." Enoch believed in God completely. It tells us in Hebrews 11:5-6. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Enoch believed in God and lived by faith. He believed in Jesus. Ellen White confirms that God who walked with Enoch was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You too can walk with Jesus if you believe in him. Jesus even promised us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And another in John 14:3, "I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Enoch walked with God constantly. In the Hebrew Bible, the verb walked in Genesis 5:24 is written in the hithpeo form, which is intensive and reflexive. This means Enoch deliberately chose to walk with God as a lifestyle, to and fro. Every day, for 300 years, he decided to walk with God in every moment of his life. As one hymn says, walking with Jesus, walking every day, all along the way. Scholar Gerald A. Klingbeil explains that this phrase suggests intimate communion with God, a close personal relationship. Enoch proclaimed Jesus and his coming, and Jude 14 records, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. Enoch did not keep his faith to himself. He shared God's message with others. You can do the same. Share Jesus with your friends, your family, and everyone around you. Dear beloved, walk with Jesus as Enoch did. Believe in him. Talk to him in prayer. Listen to his voice. Read your Bible every day, and you will grow, grow, and grow. Share Jesus with your parents, your friends, and your classmates. Tell them that Jesus loves them and that he is coming again to take us home, just as he took Enoch. Then we will walk with Jesus forever. Please bow your heads as I pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for your desire to walk with us. Please help us to walk with you as Enoch did. Help us to walk and walk and walk with you until we are so close to you that we are ready to be translated to heaven and live with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Happy Sabbath, church family. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Before we dive in God's word, let us pray. Dear Jesus, prepare our hearts to receive your word. Silence every voice in us but your own, so that we may hear your word and then obey it. Amen. The title of my sermon today is Jesus, My Best Friend. Our text today is Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many of you have a best friend? Someone who always makes sure to walk with you, maybe into church, to Sabbath school, or out to the playground. It could be your sister, your brother, or your cousin. That friend you ask your parents to buy an extra snack so you can share, or the one who ends up wearing the same shirt as you on an unplanned twin day. When you think about that friend, you probably think about spending time together, walking together, or going through life side by side. Can I get an amen? Yeah. But even when your best friend, have you ever messed up? Said something you wish you could take back? Made a choice you regret? That's exactly what happened to one of Jesus's friends. Do you know who it is? He walked with Jesus almost every day. For 3 years, he listened to Jesus teach, he watched him heal people, he knew Jesus' voice so well that he could recognize it across a stormy sea. When Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" he boldly answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." His name was Peter. Even though Peter walked closely with Jesus, he was far from perfect. Peter made many mistakes. He fell asleep when Jesus asked him to pray. He acted without thinking and cut off a man's ear. And when Jesus was arrested, Peter stopped walking with him publicly and said he didn't know him. Not once, not twice, but three times. Three times Peter said, "I don't know that man." How would you feel if the friend you played with every day suddenly said they didn't know you? Peter's walk with Jesus didn't make him perfect, and walking with Jesus will not make you perfect either. Let me say that clearly. Walking with Jesus does not mean a perfect life. It does not mean every test will be easy, your family will never struggle, you will never say something unkind, you will never make mistakes, you will never feel afraid or confused, or you will never sin. If you thought walking with Jesus meant everything would always go right, I want to release you from that idea today. That's not what Jesus promised, and it's not what Peter experienced. So, if walking with Jesus doesn't mean a perfect path, what does it mean? It means you are not walking alone. Walking with Jesus means he stays with you. When Peter failed, Jesus didn't turn away from him. After the resurrection, the angel specifically said, "Go tell his disciples and Peter," in Mark 16, verse 7. Jesus knew Peter felt ashamed. He knew Peter felt like he had stepped off the path. And Jesus wanted Peter to know, "I still want to walk with you. You're still mine." Right now, Jesus is in heaven speaking for you before God the Father. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, tells us that he lives forever to intercede for us. When the enemy tries to accuse you, Jesus says, "This adventure belongs to me. I am walking this journey with them." Walking with Jesus means he guides you back when you fall. Peter didn't stay stuck in his failure. Jesus welcomed him back and gave him purpose. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up boldly and told others about Jesus. The same Peter who once said, "I don't know him," now said, "I will walk with him and tell the world." How did Peter change? He kept walking with Jesus. He kept listening. He kept coming back. That brings us to Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This verse describes what it looks like to keep walking with Jesus. First, let us come. The Greek word proserkamai means to keep coming step by step, day by day. Walking with Jesus means showing up again and again, even after you stumble. Second, boldly. Not hiding, not afraid, walking confidently because Jesus is beside you. Third, to the throne of grace. Not a throne of punishment, but a place where love meets you when you fall. Last, to obtain mercy and find grace. Mercy lifts you up when you fall. Grace helps you take this next step. So here's the invitation today. Keep walking. Walk with Jesus when things go well. Walk with Jesus when you fail. Walk with Jesus when you understand, and walk with Jesus when you don't understand. Don't stop walking because you fall. Peter learned Jesus' voice because he stayed close, not only on good days, but all the days. Walking with Jesus is not about being perfect. It's about being present. It's about taking the next step again and again. So don't wait until you feel ready. Don't wait until you feel worthy. Just walk. Walk boldly. Walk honestly. Walk towards the throne of grace. because Jesus doesn't walk away from you. He walks with you. That is the promise. That is friendship. Let us keep walking with Jesus boldly. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for walking with us every day. Thank you for loving us even when we make mistakes. Help us remember that we are never alone and that we can always come to you. Teach us to walk with you in our own words, our choices, and our actions. When we fall, help us get back up and keep walking with confidence and trust. Please stay close to us this week and help us follow your light wherever we go. In your precious name, we pray, amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. Before I start, please bow your heads and close your eyes for a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you that we get to be here today to learn more about you. Thank you for creating each of us with a purpose and a calling, and for creating us more than we can imagine. Open our hearts and minds as we dive into your word. Help us to see where we might be settling for less than you had intended, and give us the strength to respond to your calling. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit and guide our thoughts so that we can live fully for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever felt like you're made for something bigger, but have just felt stuck? Maybe you have felt stuck while you were in school, maybe work, or just scrolling through your phone, saying, it's just the same routine day after day, nothing ever changes. God did not create us to just live. He didn't create us to wake up and go through the motions and then go right back to sleep to just repeat the very next day. He created us for more. Oftentimes, we settle for less. Maybe we settle in areas of comfort or our own routines. For adults, maybe it's the work that we settle in, or just spiritual autopilot. For the youth, maybe it's scrolling on our phones or just trying to fit in. Please turn with me to Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus told a parable about two men building houses. One built his house on the rock, and the other built his house on sand. On the outside, both houses probably looked fine, but when the storm came, the house on the sand collapsed, and the house on the rock stood firm. And that's what settling does. It looks okay on the outside, it feels comfortable, but when life gets hard, when pressure comes, when storms hit, it doesn't hold. But when you build your life on God, when you choose what's real, what's lasting, that's the rock, that's what stands. Don't settle for sand when you were made to build on rock. Please turn your Bibles to Romans 12, 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. In that verse, it says, don't fall into the patterns of this world, so don't settle. What is the more in Made for More? The more in Made for More is a transformed life. The more in Made for More is a mission beyond yourself. In the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we believe on the seventh day God rested, but that doesn't just mean it's a day off. It's a reminder that life is meant to be aligned with God. Not just busy routines. God calls us to more than just work and routines. He calls us for a bigger, higher purpose. More is living with a purpose, not just trying to survive every day, but participating in God's plan. One day, we're going to stand before God, and the question won't be, were you comfortable? It'll be, did you live the life I created you for? I never want to get to heaven and have God ask me, why didn't you do what I put you on this earth to do? And my answer be, because I was so caught up, so focused on everything and everyone else that I missed who I was supposed to be. Because if I'm always looking to the left, to the right, or to the left, I can't fully do what God put me here to do. What are the things in life that hold us back? Maybe it's the fear of failure. What if I fail? What if I make a fool out of myself? Maybe it's just not wanting to step out of our comfort zone. Maybe it's the habits we have or the sin that's holding us back. There's a story in the Bible about a young wealthy ruler. The young man asked God, what can I do to be able to go to heaven? God told him to sell everything he has and follow me. But the young man went away sad because he couldn't let go of what felt safe. Sometimes the reason we're not living for more is because we won't let go of less. We're afraid of what might happen if we step outside of our comfort zone. Listening to God's calling is not always easy. It takes time and commitment. We're afraid because our day-to-day routines are safer than what God might have in mind for us that we can't always see. So what do we do now? How do we step into this more? It starts with getting serious with God, not just on Sabbaths, not just when life is hard, but every day. Pray, read your Bible, spend time with God, and honor the Sabbath. That's how we connect to the source of this more. The second step is letting go of what might be holding us back. That might be fear, comfort, distraction, or even sin. Like the rich young ruler, sometimes we have things in our life that feel safe, but God is asking us to let go and let God. And I know that's not always easy, but the first step towards God's more is being willing to release the things that are keeping us from more. And this third step is just saying yes to God's calling, even in small ways. Maybe it's helping someone at school or sharing your faith with a friend. Maybe being more patient with a friend or loved one. God doesn't expect perfection, he expects willingness. Every step you take, no matter how small, gets you closer to the life he made you for. So today, I want to leave you with two questions. Are you willing to take a step? Are you willing to stop settling and start living a life God created you for? I want you to be honest with yourself for a second. Have you been settling? Have you been living the life God created you for, or just going through the motions? Maybe you feel like God is calling you to something more, or maybe you feel stuck, like you don't know how to get there. Whatever it is, just be honest with God about it right now as we pray. Can the congregation please stand for closing prayer? Please bow your heads. God, you see every heart in this room right now. You know the ones who feel like you're calling them to something more, and you also know the ones who feel stuck, unsure, or even distant from you. God, I pray for the ones who feel your calling. Give them courage to take that step, even when it's hard, even when it's uncomfortable. Help them not to settle for less than what you created them for. And God, I pray for the ones who feel stuck, the ones who feel like they can't move forward or don't know what to do next. Remind them that you are still with them, still guiding them, still working in their lives. Give them hope, give them direction, and give them peace. Help all of us to trust you more, to follow you more closely, and to live the life you created us for. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing as the color guards get the flags.